ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர்க், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் தி ரிவர் ஆஃப் லைஃப், தி யூனிவர்ஸ் ஆஃப் மைண்ட், பிரசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சத்குரு சிவாய சுப்பிரமணிய சுவாமி. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய.
Merging with Shiva, Lesson 23, Affectionate Detachment. Meditate on a river. Follow it as a visual image from its source to the end where it merges into the sea. You can now clearly see where you have been clinging to the banks of life's river. You will plainly see just how long you have been clinging to various attachments, by holding on to fears, worries, doubts of the future, and regrets about the past. Looking at attachment, we see how it holds the mind down, how it submerges personality. Attachment is a stationary thing. Attachment creates the personality. The popular concept of the intellect at this point would be to say, well then, according to this, we are not supposed to be attached to anything or even have a personality. But I take this one step further and tell you, become affectionately detached. For by becoming affectionately detached, you absorb all the power of the spiritual force within you. When you absorb the power of the spirit through the body, you will be able to feel it flowing through your most subtle nerves. This vibrant spiritual force within you, vibrating through every cell of the body, quieting the emotions, and bringing the mind into effortless concentration, is born of affectionate detachment. Affectionate detachment is stronger than any attachment could possibly be, because attachment is created through unfulfilled desires, salted and peppered with fear, fear of loss, fear of the unexpected, fear that life may not have much more to offer than what has already been offered, fear of old age, fear of harm, fear of accident. These are the fears which salt and pepper the unfulfilled desires. This is attachment. To be affectionately detached, that is a power, that is a wisdom, that is a love greater than any emotional love, a love born of understanding, a love that merges you into the river of life and allows actinic force to flow within you so that you realize God. We all still have those little attachments, the good ones, the need for love, acceptance and security. These attachments form the positive aspect of the subconscious. We want to free ourselves of all negative attachments, then use the subconscious positively as a powerhouse directed by our superconsciousness. There is a great wisdom in cultivated affectionate detachment. Let go of the past. Let go of the future. Be a being right now. Being detached does not mean running away from life or being insensitive. It makes us extremely sensitive. When we have the ability to let go, we are warmer, more friendly, more wholesome, more human, and closer to our family and friends. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 24, Subconscious Basement. I liken the subconscious mind to a basement. Those of you who have lived in the same house for a number of years have observed the following. As life progresses in the home, old things make way for the new, and the old things invariably are put into the basement. The basement is likened to the subconscious mind. the main floor to the conscious mind. If one is putting too many things too fast into the basement and is too busy enjoying the new things passing through the conscious mind into the subconscious basement, there is no time to keep the basement in order. Suppose there is an earthquake, an emotional upheaval in life, and the entire house shakes. The lampshades of the big lamps get mixed up with the shades of the small ones. The pillows of the old sofa get mixed up with the pillows of the armchair. Should we enter the basement, it may take us several hours to find the articles we're looking for. That is the subconscious mind. It gets all mixed up. If we do not look into ourselves constantly and put our subconscious basement in order. Our subconscious basement is created first through association with our immediate friends and family, and the interrelated strains, tensions, misunderstandings, joys, pleasures, happy memories, and sorrows. In a lesser degree, it is created in the outside world through the people to whom we have become attached. These attachments are reflections of what is already in the subconscious basement. In other words, we bring out of these people qualities similar to the qualities in our own subconscious. However, if every day at a certain time we meditate, go down into that basement and put a few things in order, pretty soon our basement is orderly and clean. We begin to understand the subconscious, seeing it as transparent, and we have no attachment to anything in it. We are not holding on to any old hates, fears, or ancient misunderstandings within ourselves. When we are not harboring negative attachments to anything that happened 20 or 30 years ago, thus creating tensions in our body and confusion in our mind, the subconscious becomes a powerhouse. The superconscious energies flood easily through you, bringing into your life an abundance of creativity, intuition, perception, and bliss. The subconscious in this pure state is of great benefit to you, both inwardly and outwardly, when properly programmed. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 25. Nobody understands me. In practicing affectionate detachment, we are learning to live in the here and now, right in the moment. We are awakening the power of direct cognition, the power that enables us to understand what happens, when it happens, and why it happens. We are tuning into the river of life, the great actinic flow. This river flows directly from the essence of being through the subconscious basement and the conscious mind main floor, creating life's experiences. Along the way, our cognition of these experiences completes the cycle of its continual flow. That is what we have to learn to tune into. All of our higher teachings give us that wisdom. It is a great step to learn it intellectually and to be able to talk about it. But once that step has been taken, it is not a great step anymore. This wisdom must first be applied at home, then at work. Then it has to be applied among all of your acquaintances and friends. Everyone should understand you and about you. And if you feel there is someone close to you who does not understand you, that signifies that the part of yourself that this person represents does not understand what you think they do not understand. If someone who is close to you does not understand your inner nature, you do not understand your inner subconscious yourself. Why? Because you have only intellectually grasped certain things. you have not fully realized these concepts. They, the friend, as a reflection of yourself, therefore, will not quite grasp your studies or your concepts. As soon as you understand yourself, by having purified yourself, you can explain your realization to your friends in a way that they will understand. When explaining yoga teachings, use common examples like the following. If you plant a seed and water it, you will eventually give birth to a flower. That is simple and complete. Anyone can understand it. Use little examples and stay away from big terms, mysterious words. For little examples of life are powerful. Talk about trees and how they grow. Talk about children and how they mature into adulthood. Talk about flowers and how they bloom, and relate these to the laws of life. Talk about the mind and how it can be opened up through yoga techniques of concentration and meditation. And you will become a great missionary of Hindu Dharma and do much for yourself as well as others. Those who say, "Well, nobody understands me. I feel all alone on the path," are going through a period in which they have memorized everything but understand very little and therefore cannot explain or convince their fellow man of these great truths due to the fact that their subconscious basement is still full. When we only learn intellectually and have not put Dharma into practice, our subconscious is still cluttered by uncognized memories. Om Namah Shivaya. Bridging with Shiva, Lesson 26. Be like the river water. You can plainly see that we have to go into the subconscious basement and straighten it out, if need be, by letting go and becoming free. That's easy to say. It's a little more difficult to do. Why? Because the basement took time to fill, and it takes time to clean. If we were to straighten out the subconscious basement too fast, that would not be good. It would be going against a natural law. It would be like pouring hot water on plants, as they do commercially, to make them bloom quickly. We must not force natural law, so we take time in our spiritual unfoldment. The more time you are willing to take, the less pressure you have on yourself, and the faster you will attain a permanent enlightenment. Let's look again at the river of life as it flows into the sea, and again relate that to ourselves and see ourselves letting go of the river banks, merging ourselves into this river, flowing with it, and realizing ourselves as the essence of life. Let us not worry about the past ever again. Do not even think about the past. Face everything that comes up in the light of the present, not in the darkness of the past. Be like the river water. Water flows freely anywhere, easily finding its way around rocks and trees. Be pliable in your life, moving in rhythm with life. Let go of everything that blocks the river of life's energy. Watch your thinking and be careful of your thoughts. Judge every action that you make. Judge every word you speak with this law. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? Is it necessary? Be your own kind judge and make each second a day of judgment, for each second is really a day if you live life fully. If you live completely each second, you will experience many days inside each 24 hours. Be free from life's attachments, and don't allow any more negative attachments to occur in your life. Loosen yourself. Be free. Attachments bring all sorts of complications. Freedom brings no complication at all. So, that is what we have to do. Recreate our lives each second. Become affectionately detached and manifest a greater love through action. Selfless service to mankind makes you free in the world of mortals. Measure yourself objectively with the river of life and merge with it into the sea of life. Let your service to mankind begin at home and radiate out to the world. Begin at home with those closest to you before venturing out among friends and strangers. Let your example be your first teaching. Be free from the past, abide in the present, detach yourself from the future, and live in the eternal now. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 27, Performing Ganga Sadhana. Close your eyes and visualize a river flowing into the sea, and see yourself holding on to the banks of the river and the river flowing on past you. Now let go of the bank of the river and flow down with the river and merge into the sea of life. Feel yourself right at this instant, living in the here and now. Holding on to the river bank, we hold the consciousness of time and space. Holding on to the banks of the river of life is to recreate within you fear, worry, doubt, anxiety, and nervousness. Detach yourself from the banks of the river and again be free. Love the banks as you pass, with a love born of understanding. And if you have no understanding of the bank, study your attachments until you do. Learn to concentrate the mind so that you can study not from books, but from observation, which is the first awakening of the soul. Learn to study by practice. Learn to study by application. Become a student of life and live life fully. And as you merge into the sea of actinic life, you will realize that you are not your mind, your body, or your emotions. You will realize that you are the complete master of your mind, your body, and your emotions. There is a sacred practice you should perform to keep flowing beautifully with the river of life. It will be a challenge to discipline yourself to set aside the time, but it will benefit you. You must sit by a rolling river and listen to the river saying, Om Namah Shivaya, Shivaya Namah Om, as its water runs over the rocks. Listen closely to the water connecting to the rocks, and you will hear the sacred mantra of life, Om Namah Shivaya. Relax into the sounds the river is chanting and try to be in tune with the perfect universe. The cosmos is perfect, you know. Its laws are divine. Its timing flawless. Its design unique. While you are sitting alone by the side of the river, being one with the perfect universe, the earth, the air, the fire, the water, and the akasha, the mind. When a thought arises from your subconscious, something about your daily life, a problem or difficulty, pluck a leaf from a tree or bush. Mentally put the problem into the leaf and place it into the river. The river will carry the leaf away along with the thought you placed into it. Then pluck a flower and humbly offer it into the river with both hands in loving appreciation for doing this great service for you. Perform this Ganga Sadhana each month, and you will advance on the spiritual path. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 164. Intellect and the Instinctive Mind. The first steps on the spiritual path consist in learning to harness these tendencies and impulses and transmute their energies into the higher nature. But we should not think of the instinctive mind as bad, for it controls the basic faculties of perception and movement, digestion, elimination, ordinary thought, and emotion, and the many other vital functions of the physical being. Animals, birds, fish, reptiles, and insects are the personification of the instinctive mind. Living mainly in the areas of fear, they react immediately to change. Their driving forces are sustenance, sex, shelter, and the security for their young and themselves. It is these instinctive drives that are the most difficult impulses for humans to deal with. They are, for people, the seeds of all the desires, of all the entanglements within the four areas: sex, money, food, and clothes, which we capture in one word, desire. Yes, it is desire that propels humanity onward. The instinctive mind also has within it various forces: the force of fear, the force of anger, the force of jealousy, and the dynamic force of self-preservation. It is what it is, instinctive. It impulsively and immediately reacts to all situations. Though it is a great force in developing the intellect, its greatest enemy is intuition. The mind of the soul, which guides humans out of the morass of the lower nature into sublimity. Most of us find the intellect a saving's grace when it comes from the transformation of the instinctive nature into something more substantial. Constantly we strive to broaden our intellect, increase our knowledge, govern the mind with organized thinking, and control our emotions by repressing the instinctive nature. This is nature's way of increasing man's justification of that which has passed before the window of the mind and was not pleasing to his intellect. The justification being that enough knowledge has not been acquired by the intellect to sufficiently suppress the instinctive nature. While the instinctive mind places great pulls on the individual, the intellectual mind often has a stranglehold. An intellectual person could run this explanation through his intellect and be able to explain it back better than we are unraveling it here, relating this point to that point exquisitely, yet deriving absolutely nothing from the conclusions to improve his own life. The next day, his mental interest would be off on another subject. Merging with Shiva, lesson 164. Intellect and the instinctive mind. The first steps on the spiritual path consist in learning to harness these tendencies and impulses and transmute their energies into the higher nature. But we should not think of the instinctive mind as bad, for it controls the basic faculties of perception and movement, digestion, elimination, ordinary thought, and emotion, and the many other vital functions of the physical being. Animals, birds, fish, reptiles, and insects are the personification of the instinctive mind. Living mainly in the areas of fear, they react immediately to change. Their driving forces are sustenance, sex, shelter, and the security for their young and themselves. It is these instinctive drives that are the most difficult impulses for humans to deal with. They are, for people, the seeds of all the desires, of all the entanglements within the four areas: sex, money, food, and clothes, which we capture in one word, desire. Yes, it is desire that propels humanity onward. The instinctive mind also has within it various forces: the force of fear, the force of anger, the force of jealousy, and the dynamic force of self-preservation. It is what it is, instinctive. It impulsively and immediately reacts to all situations. Though it is a great force in developing the intellect, its greatest enemy is intuition. The mind of the soul which guides humans out of the morass of the lower nature into sublimity. Most of us find the intellect a saving grace when it comes from the transformation of the instinctive nature into something more substantial. Constantly we strive to broaden our intellect, increase our knowledge, govern the mind with organized thinking, and control our emotions by repressing the instinctive nature. This is nature's way of increasing man's justification of that which has passed before the window of the mind and was not pleasing to his intellect. The justification being that enough knowledge has not been acquired by the intellect to sufficiently suppress the instinctive nature. While the instinctive mind places great pulls on the individual, the intellectual mind often has a stranglehold. An intellectual person could run this explanation through his intellect and be able to explain it back better than we are unraveling it here, relating this point to that point exquisitely, yet deriving absolutely nothing from the conclusions to improve his own life. The next day, his mental interest would be off on another subject.